Hello everyone and welcome back. It's Her Game and Dominika, and today my guest is Johnny Kraut, CEO at Women in Games International, in my opinion one of the most successful organizations supporting women in the gaming space. I'm constantly amazed by the number of projects they're running simultaneously and in how many ways they support women in games in this space. And just a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to meet Johnny at GDC. So welcome on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's great having you. I know you're busy. So if we can start with you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm Joni. I'm the CEO at Women in Games International. I started off as writing at a newspaper, which really got me interested in just interviewing people and really trying to uncover the full story. So I like to ask questions and just kind of understand things a little bit more than what just maybe what somebody's saying at face value. I moved into accounting and finance because I loved data so much and just telling stories, but telling them with facts and numbers and data sets and points. And so I ended up at Motorola and assisting them with moving from paper and pencil accounting to automated systems in accounting. And I was working with a couple of people that were like, you should go check out this company. And I was already using their mouse. I was in love with them. And so I started working at SteelSeries, which was making headsets, mice, keyboards, gaming peripherals for esports specifically. And so I had the opportunity to actually kind of see esports from a professional side, not just, you know, the face front gaming side and being a fan. And so we worked with different teams and players to develop the products to make sure that they were what they needed for a tournament and to win. And it was just that exposure to esports and the concept of gaming for a living and competing. And it was really incredible. So that kind of got me hooked in the gaming space. And I haven't really turned back. So I've been working with nonprofits and startups and just kind of assisting with, you know, setting up financial policies and procedures and making sure things are streamlined, using automation so it's not so manual. This is probably really, really boring to people, but I really like numbers. and I really like data. I've also been working with the Cal State universities to help develop an esports program that goes beyond just being a club. So really having the opportunity to sort of learn while you're in college, how do you produce an esports tournament? How do you shoutcast an esports tournament? How do you do marketing? How do you create logos? And so there's really creating that pathway into esports beyond just the pro player route, which is so difficult to master. And so it's been really powerful to work with different organizations who are saying, how do we get more women here? How do we get more people with diverse backgrounds here? What does that look like? Should we do a women's only event? And having these conversations and really kind of advocating for what I would have wanted to see when I was in college, advocating for what people are currently kind of reaching out from our community and asking for as a resource, and just kind of making sure that it's happening in the real world and seeing the impact that can drive.
Yeah, it's great. And just for the record, I love numbers too. No, I work at the data company, so it would be weird not to. And I think like looking for some patterns, you know, the larger general rules that may not be in the plain sight, but then you kind of recognize how things are connected. It's super, super interesting. What was for you like the turning point when the concept of Wiggy was conceived?
So Wiggy actually started in 2003. We were a panel at GDC, and it was a conversation about being a woman in the games industry, navigating your career. What does that mean? What does it look like to be in a male-dominated industry? The conversations were a lot really focused on, you know, women being omitted from history because they weren't taking up the space they deserved. They weren't being given credit or kind of respect for the work that they were doing. In 2003, the conversation was women are just getting into the games industry, which we know is not true. It's happening again now. People are like, whoa, women are just now getting into the industry. Are you sure? So the panel discussion was really just people coming together and kind of chatting about what that means and what that looks like. In 2004, we got together to do the same panel again. And in 2005, when we got together to do the same panel again, three women went, what the heck are we doing? There's no resource. There's no impact. There's no change. We're just kind of complaining at this point. And so they created Women in Games International. It was a play on bringing together all the WIGs, SIGs, and ERGs, so the special interest groups and the employee resource groups, on an international basis to create one massive community really focused on driving that change through resources. So that's where WIGI got its name. We are all Women in Games International is the goal. When I started at WIGI about 6 years ago, we were 5 years ago? Feels like a lifetime. We were really just doing two networking events, two programs, period. And one of them was a networking event at GDC in San Francisco. One of them was a networking event at E3 in Los Angeles. And so, you had to be able to afford to get to two of the most expensive cities in the States. And so we were really only catering to upper middle class and typically white women. And it really bothered me because I grew up in poverty and this resource wouldn't have been accessible to me. I would not have been able to have afforded this free event. And so that was sort of like that data came into play. I started as CFO and I was doing all the finances and I'm looking at all the data points and I'm just like, we could be making so much more impact if we just, and I just had like this laundry list of things I wanted to do. So I like to say I got promoted to CEO because I'm annoying and I was just like, I want to try this and we should do that and we should, and they were like, just take it and run. There was a lot of people saying what I wanted to do wasn't going to happen. We weren't going to be able to do it. There wasn't going to be enough interest. There would be no funding. You know, I have great big high hopes and dreams, but it's never going to come to fruition. And that when you tell me no, that's when I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure I do it because you said I couldn't. So, so thank you to everybody who said I couldn't because I did. And my first year, we did 90 programs, workshops, panels, and initiatives. We've received grants. We've received, you know, donations. We're doing a campaign right now, which is the first time we've ever done that. We're really changing the conversation. And the biggest focus, again, is really on those resources and how can we impact the community in a positive way? How can we empower you to open the door for yourself instead of waiting for somebody else to open it for you? You know, we do professional development, mentorship, just different opportunities, really trying to help people navigate their career, get in the door, maintain retention, and then help people get promoted as well.
Yeah, this is so great to hear because, you know, once I started, it's like, I think at this point, almost 10 years ago, I started at the company when at some point there was 100 people and I was one of two women who were working there. Yeah. I did not know where to reach out or who to speak to. And I had no idea what are the opportunities for me. I was at the point when I was like, well, I was sure I didn't want to work at the corporation, but I also wanted to do something else, but I did not even understand fully the names of the roles that were in the industry. How was I supposed to make any connections? And then I woke up one day and magically thought, okay, I'm going to make a podcast. And, you know, it's such a great way to kind of start to speak to women from different countries, different regions, learning about their struggles, but also opportunities that exist in the industry and kind of gather this knowledge. And I remember when I came across WIGI and I started to follow your activities and WIGI's programs, and I was just so blown away that it's possible to actually make an impact and you can get partners on board and you can kind of create these initiatives. And I wish we had something like that in Europe as well, but it's great to see that at least there is like a center point of this change, you know, and you have like the spring where things are starting and maybe that will flow, you know, to different continents later on. But you've mentioned multiple projects that you're running. So who exactly can participate in WIGI projects right now?
So we are, we're global. So anybody anywhere can definitely, you know, sign up and participate. When, you know, when I first started, especially having women in the name, a lot of people think that we are women only, but we are very focused on true equality and not sexism against men. So we have actionable allyship programming and content. We've done workshops and just kind of gone in to help train people on, you know, just specific words that you use or the tone that you use or how to communicate in a more cohesive way and having these opportunities to just kind of pull everybody in. So we always say everyone is welcome, absolutely everybody. We define women as women, all non-binary and femme identifying, but we are constantly promoting allies and just, you know, getting support from anybody who's interested in equality. So honestly, we just say if you're interested in seeing a level playing field, you are more than welcome on any program that we are running or doing or working on. We do give preference and priority to programs with applications to people who apply that identify as women, non-binary, or femme identifying. LGBT LGBTQIA+, and people BIPOC. So just trying to bring in as much diversity as possible, bring in as many new perspectives and different backgrounds as possible is really the biggest goal for us. But also people who are, you know, historically marginalized and underrepresented are usually the people who can really benefit from our programming the most, just because it's an opportunity to teach you how to introduce yourself in an actionable way and get out of the conversation what you wanted, instead of kind of beating around the bush and hoping that they understand what you're trying to say, and, you know, hoping that you're going to get the raise because your boss is just going to realize your internal most hopes and dreams. How do you have the conversation around negotiating your salary? How do you bring data to that conversation to prove that, you know, the salary that you're asking for makes sense based on the workload that you're doing? Having those conversations is a really powerful thing that a lot of times, you know, people who aren't afraid to take up space don't even think before they have those conversations, before they walk into a room and talk to their manager, hey, I want to raise, what do I need to do to get there? And so it's really anybody who's interested in professional development and building themselves up. We really, really encourage to join our programming, for sure.
I had a chance to attend a few of your online sessions, either as a mentee or a mentor at, you know, different hats. But I definitely found them really helpful. And it was interesting to kind of have a perspective or opinion of different women and different people, essentially from the industry, on certain situations. I even remember one of the conversations that I had it kind of like, traced back to what you mentioned about like taking up your space and asking for a raise or a change of responsibilities or a promotion, etc. I think that women quite often they perceive asking questions like that as rude, or you know, they feel like these questions are unwanted, and if they're unwanted, then we shouldn't be in the place where we ask them, because then we come across as aggressive. Do you think that this is something you see quite a lot among women, or is that more of my perspective?
Yeah, definitely. We see that a lot. So, you know, a lot of times you think it's just me too, and that's the mentality we're trying to destroy, right? It's not just you. It is happening. And really, you know, it's an opportunity for you to break your own glass ceiling. And then we'll help you work through the real glass ceilings that exist. So you gotta break your own glass ceiling. I grew up in poverty. So I grew up with, you know, people telling me that I should kind of blend into the background so I didn't get picked on, or I should, you know, do certain things in a certain way, or I should be grateful that I even have this job because so-and-so is not making as much money, or I should, you know, whatever it was that I was repeating in my head over and over and over again, it was something that I was stopping myself from moving to the next level. And it wasn't until I was working at Motorola and this woman who looked like me walked into the room, owned the room, gave a presentation, and then was like, okay, peace out, and left, that I was just like, whoa, that was amazing. She looks like me, and she just owned this male-dominated boardroom. Like, she really nailed that. She had her information. She had her data points. She was ready to go. She answered questions, and then she left. And I was like, I want to be that person. That would be amazing to be that person. And I left that room, and I met up with her after, and she was having a slight panic attack. And I was like, what is going on? And she was just like, I was so nervous. I can't believe I just did that. That was amazing, but like terrifying. And it was kind of that realization that she shared her story with me. And, you know, she also grew up in poverty, and she also had a rough childhood, and she also, you know, went through these things, but she decided one day that she didn't want that to define her. And so she moved forward in a different direction than everybody told her she could. And she broke a glass ceiling that she had built for herself, that other people had built for her. And she really just kind of became that professional and that person that she wanted to. It was also really empowering to see somebody else with anxiety who was like killing it, and just be like, whoa, you can do this even if you have a panic attack after. I had no idea you were even nervous until I saw you after. So it was really nice to just kind of see yourself in that space. And that's one of the things that we're really trying to create, is that representation. You know, so many people have a different story, but they can still get to the level that they want to get to, just working together. And then, like you said, you know, the programming, it's really community building. It's really finding people that you can access and you can speak to and you can reach out to, and you can have these conversations and share your story and help build each other up. We always say, you know, the four pillars of a good, you know, to help you succeed in your career is a coach, a mentor, a sponsor, and a friend. And so having that community where you can kind of build your squad and pick and choose your support team is a really powerful way to kind of move yourself forward, but also you don't even realize it, but you're moving a whole team of people forward with you. So
yeah, it's a really interesting perspective, because I kind of feel that it has changed over the years, that women allow themselves to ask for help, and they feel like there is a space to kind of show the vulnerabilities. And of course, like, it's been, you know, a lot of hard work to create these spaces and to kind of like create the platform where this can be done. I remember starting, and I kind of see that sometimes in the women that have been in the industry for quite a while, that they have this like fighter mentality, that, you know, like this mindset that there is so little space, that there is almost like just one, let's say, seat at the table that women can occupy. So there was very little of, like, let's say, sisterhood or support, and a lot of survival instinct. And I kind of really like this shift that has been happening over a couple of last years, when it's more about this, as you said, like support squads and exchanging experiences, and not feeling that you kind of damage your chance to progress by sharing that you don't know something, or you're uncomfortable with something, and you know where to go to kind of speak about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest things too, is just sharing those concerns and those vulnerabilities with each other. You know, I remember thinking, there's no way I could ever become C-suite, because the CEO just knows everything. The CFO just knows things, and they know, you know, just all the way across the board. And how could you possibly ever know that much stuff? And this person must be a genius, and I could never do something like that. And then I got promoted to CEO, and I realized everybody's faking it. Absolutely, everybody is completely faking it. None of us have any idea what we're doing. We're all just hoping for the best, and we put our best foot forward, and, you know, we work our butts off to make it happen. But there are constantly times where I'm like, oh my gosh, can we even afford to run this program right now?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just got to reach out to your network, and you got to find people that will support you and who want to see you succeed. And then you can start to believe yourself that you can succeed, and having that that support and that opportunity, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. This is something, what you've said, how you started that last sentence, like pretty much what was in my head once you spoke about the woman from Motorola, is that sometimes, you know, you think that you look at these people and you're like, they're just perfect. Like, they know everything, they own the room, they walk in, they've been natural, they've been born with it. They're, you know, like all these like arguments that kind of like widen the gap that you think is in between you and this person. And then you kind of see the other side and you're like, oh my God, these people are human. they struggle as much as you do. And there's like so much hard work put into like these few minutes when you come across as, you know, the king or the queen of the world, right? But there's like so much hard work behind. And I kind of like, I also like that about Wiggy programs, is that you create space for women at different stages of their career, because, you know, there is one for people who are just starting the career, but there is also a program for like more advanced professionals who kind of want to step up or develop professionally, or just connect to other women. I think it's great, and it also like create a natural path for progression for people who start very early with you, and then, you know, they can kind of build up their skills, but also go work in the industry and maybe become another partner of Wiggy in the future, right? And advocate for your activations within the companies they would be part of.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's a huge goal of ours too. We love seeing a mentee go to become a mentor and then keynote at an event. And we're just like, yeah, like, yeah, we're having your journey. We're so excited for you. And that lift as you climb mentality too. You know, we used to say we are everybody from 18 to 65. And I had a woman reach out to me and go, can we say 75? Because I'm here. And so we actually had to increase. So we are 18 to 75. It's really just, you know, people trying to get into the industry for the first time, all the way up to people who are post-retirement turning around and saying, hey, I want to help raise the next generation. So it's that lift as you climb mentality. It's that you know, trying to empower the next person who you wish you could have had that, you know, what is your cheat code? What do you wish you had known at what, you know, any stage of your career? I think it was really powerful to me in the beginning when I was like, hey, what if we ran a program like this? Hey, what if we did it online so it was more accessible to people? Hey, what if we, you know, all of these ideas. And I had somebody say to me, where was Wiggy when I needed you? Like, where was this organization when I was at this stage in my career? Where was this organization when I was trying to navigate this situation? And so it's constantly reaching out to our board, to our community, to just people everywhere and just saying, what other resource would help you in your career? What other piece can I provide to you? And I think back on my career, and I think, you know, I was at a company where a guy walked in the room and he was just like, hey, I want a raise. Tell me what to do to make that happen. Right. I really want a title change. I've been here for this many years. And he had a full conversation. And he walked in to the two co-founders and had that conversation in a conference room on a Tuesday. And I was just like, where do you get the balls? And then I thought, why didn't I do that? Mm. Why haven't I had that conversation? Don't put him down for having the conversation. And by the way, he got a raise in a year and a title increase because he worked his butt off and did the things they told him to do. Why do we keep trying to internalize our hopes and dreams? Why do we keep trying to just keep your head down and work your butt off and they'll just know you want to, you know, a title change or a pay increase or, you know, a shift in your career. And so then we end up with quiet quitting because I didn't get the thing that I never told them I wanted. And so it's having those conversations up front. It's being direct with what your goals are. It's not hiding the fact that you want to succeed and you want to take up space. And so it's, if you can accept that you want something more, you then have to put in that work and to communicate it. And it's not just keeping your head down. It's talking about it. It's making sure that the things that you are doing are the things that, you know, they see as successful and they want for that role.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. It takes, you know, this mentality of switching a gear a little bit and changing your perspective from being a passive passenger and be like, okay, so I guess this is how my life looks, to, like, you know, kind of owning this, sit behind the wheel and be like, well, if I want to make a change, I kind of need to learn how to drive, and then you move forward with that. And obviously it's like, it's on you where the journey will go, like where the journey will end. But it takes some courage to kind of, you know, sit behind this wheel. And I think part of how this can be easier for women is also like having these multiple touch points. And like speaking just about your initiatives, even it's like being on the side of the event, but then like having a newsletter, then like, you know, being present online, well, having you on the podcast, you know, all these things is like raising awareness. So maybe someone who's even passive at the moment and would come across any sort of your content or event would be like, oh, well, I guess it's time for me now. So I think it's pretty important, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we were constantly trying to just encourage more people to do the thing, right? So it's, I really want to apply for this job. I really want to work at this company, but, you know, I'm not 100% of all of the qualifications, or I don't know if I could ever actually work at a AAA studio. I'm just me. And that's one of the reasons that we do our Get in the Game program, is we focus on taking women who otherwise couldn't afford it to a games industry conference. And we just did GDC. We just took 10 women from 8 different countries. So 10 total, not 80, because apparently I say that weird. So 10 total people across 8 different countries came to GDC with us in San Francisco. And it was, you know, a lot of companies will offer you just the free ticket, but what if you can't afford a free ticket? So we cover the flight, the hotel, a food per diem. And then every morning we do a mentorship session with a games industry professional. So we went to Google, got a tour, listened to a panel. We went to Unity. We did a big thing with Meta. You know, it's having these conversations with people who are already doing the thing to tell you, you too can do it. And so having this opportunity to really just not even just talk to somebody from the company, but literally step into the company, walk around and see the Unity space, walk around and see, you know, these opportunities where people are just sitting there working. They're normal. They're not actually superheroes. Yeah. They're regular people, and you can be in that same space. How did you get here? I started an internship. I worked my way up. How did you get here? I just applied online. I can't believe they took me. I'm so excited to be here. You know, and it's showcasing that there are pathways, there are opportunities, and sometimes you're creating that stopping point for yourself, and it's not actually, you know, a stopping point that you have to acknowledge or stop that. So just moving it forward, showcasing, you know, who is at the table, showcasing that there is a spot for you if you are interested, and then just kind of chatting about, you know, everything from, we do interview, which is interview the interviewer. Every company has a different hiring process. What is yours? I want to work at your company. So how do I get my application in front of you? There's different systems. You have to upload a Word doc, or we're not going to find all the right words. Versus you have to upload a PDF, because otherwise it's going to mess with the formatting. And it's so interesting to just go from one studio to the next and hear how very different the hiring process is. And then people are going, but I've done the same thing. I've been applying for 2 years. Okay, but where are you applying and how are you applying? And having those conversations, you don't even realize. There's so many nuances that you could be accidentally kind of tripping yourself up before you even get to the finish line. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've just mentioned GDC. Well, we've met there, and we had multiple events during that week. Do you have any particular observations from that week when it comes to women in games and brands participating, or anything that comes to your mind?
You know, it's really cool, because when I first started at Wiggy, I had to bang on doors and try to get people to listen to me and just, like, you know, throw up like, can somebody help me, please? I'm over here. Yeah. We're trying to do a thing. a lot of people were like, come back to me in 2 years and show me the data, which I'm sure you completely appreciate it. Yeah. I was like, I get what you're saying. Okay, let's do this. And so we were really lucky that we received a $1 million grant from Activision Blizzard King. And so with that grant, we were able to really kind of lay that foundation. We were able to do R&D and run programs that we weren't even sure if they were going to work. But we had a really great concept, and how can we make it happen? Even our Get in the Game program, it's evolved every time we've done it. We've done something a little bit better and a little bit stronger and a little bit, you know, different, but like, progressive different. And so we're constantly trying to make that an even better program. This year we had so many people reach out to help with our mentorship breakfast and workshops. We actually ended up with 5 mentorship breakfasts and 2 mentorship lunches, because we had so many companies interested in supporting us. And it's, you know, it's Google and it's Amazon and it's Meta, and it's this opportunity to work with these bigger companies. It's Embracer, and it was, you know, Christina Seely over at Maximum Games, and, you know, all of these people, Chelsea Blasco from Iron Forge. Like, there's so many women who want to see this change, and there are so many companies that are interested in being part of that journey. And so it went from being like, how do I get $10 to make sure we can all make the train, to how do I make sure that we're bringing in people from, you know, we had South Africa, we had Riyadh, we had Scotland, we had Cuba and Morocco. We had all of these women from all of these different areas of the world coming to GDC, because we had so many partners interested in supporting us. And so it was a really powerful thing to see, is if you can showcase the impact, it's a lot easier to get people to kind of come on board and support you. We did an event with Amazon Games and AWS, and we call it our annual event now, because we've done it twice, so it's annual. But we do it on the Monday of GDC, and a lot of people are saying, I'm not even coming until Tuesday. And then they end up coming on Monday just so they can come to our event, which is a really powerful and really amazing thing to hear. We did Celebrating Women. We had a space for everybody, and we found a venue that was a little bit bigger than last year. And last year we had it at the Twitch HQ, and we were like, oh, are people just coming to see the headquarters, or are they coming for us? This year we did it at an off location, and we had so many people register. We had 940 people register. We had so many people standing out, and they just showed up in the street, that we actually had to close down the alleyway, close down the street, so that it turned into like a block party. So we had 2 huge spaces, one for if you wanted to listen to the panel, one for just kind of networking. And then we ended up in the street as well. And we just had such a massive community, just a massive coming together. Even after the panel discussion, the 4 panelists, we were just standing. So that I was moderating, and then we had 3 panelists. We were just standing there answering questions. We had a line of people just coming up to ask us questions. And it was, you know, this was so powerful. This was such a great, you know, conversation. Thank you for saying, you know, talking about imposter syndrome and just having that conversation. And it's amazing to just see how many people want this. It's not just women, it's allies. It's not just one specific type of person. It's everybody that wants to kind of see this change. And then we did our annual networking event, which is our like biggest event of the year on Wednesday, and we changed the format. We're doing it from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m., so it's during daylight hours. We did have drinks available. We did have, you know, these spaces where you could network with people. We had kind of quieter spaces, and we had spaces where there was louder music, and, you know, it was just creating that separation of what is it that you best excel at when you're networking, and let's kind of create that within this space. And we had almost 1400 people registered for that. So it's showcasing that it can be done. It's creating the spaces where people can see the impact, and it's really empowering people in the way that they feel most powerful, right? It's finding the thing that we were talking earlier about, you know, ADHD and anxiety, and, What does it look like for you? What does support look like for you? Because it might look different from somebody else. And so how do we find a way to bring out your best you? And especially when you're interviewing or you're trying to negotiate your salary, what is the thing that's in your head that's telling you to stop? What is the stopping point? Is it actually your employer? Because it might be. I mean, there are definitely times that it is. Yeah. But is it you? Are you stopping yourself from moving yourself forward? So it's been really great. GDC was a really powerful event. We found a lot of people that were interested, even when we said we were there, that were just coming up like, where can I meet your mentee? We also worked with the IGDA, so we actually had a booth on the GDC floor where mentees could showcase their games. If you had a game, a playable game or a demo, you had the opportunity to actually showcase on the GDC floor, which a lot of people were like, just amazing.
Yeah.
So we let that, you know, we had our mentees, our mentors, and our community just kind of have that space. And again, it was breaking that glass ceiling of, I never thought I'd be able to do this. I never thought I could showcase on the GDC floor. So I think it's creating those conversations, it's creating those spaces, and it's really just showcasing that it's not just women screaming into that void of, you know, when you surround yourself with an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. It's so many people want to see this change, and so many people want to make sure that this is a viable and sustainable thing that's happening. And that's one of the biggest things I feel like this year has really kind of brought forward for sure.
Yeah, I had a pleasure and opportunity to be to attend both of your events, and it was just so, like, first one on Monday was such a great way to start GDC, because, you know, like, I arrived on Sunday, so obviously jet lag just hit in, and I was like, I'm not having that in me to push through the week. And then I went there and I was like, that was amazing. Like, just seeing all the people buzzing and the energy of the place. And then the panel on the stage, and also like having opportunity to just chat to people who are there to kind of like, you know, support the same cause and be there because they believe that there is a time and space and there's the right moment to kind of make the change and make an impact. I think it must be very rewarding as well for you and the team to see that after, you know, years of grinding and trying to make that happen, to now have a block party at GDC is a bit of an upgrade from, you know, a ticket to train ticket to the event. So yeah, well done. That's really, it's something to be super proud of. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah. And we just have the best community and just the most amazing board and advisory board. I can't get over, you know, all the people that were naysayers that were trying to kind of stop it are either gone now or are like, oh yeah, I know you can do it the whole time. And I'm like, oh, did you? Okay. Yeah,
exactly. So, right.
But it's finding those people that are going to elevate you and just kind of propel you forward, and then using that energy to your advantage. I still remember early on in my career, I had a woman who was a VP, and I went to her because I was just like, why, as the accountant of this company, am I being asked to come in early to clean the boardroom so that the salespeople can have a meeting? Why am I being asked to bring in the waters? Why am I being asked to get the mail and to order the office supplies? Mm-hmm. Why is this my job as an accountant? Mm-hmm. And she said to me, get used to it. It's because you're a woman. And I still remember that because that is one of the things that drives me at Wiggy. How do we change the conversation from other women saying things like that? How do we change the conversation to empowering? What if she had said, gosh, yeah, that is wrong. Let's go talk to somebody. Here's how I would approach it. Let's, you know, have this conversation and just point out the thing that they're doing, because maybe they don't even realize that they're doing it. And yes, maybe it's because you're a woman, but let's change their perspective on the fact that we have an office manager who could be doing these things.
Yeah, right.
Why aren't you asking him to do these things? So it's, I think it's a lot of it too is pointing out and really calling it out and being very articulate about it, not in a negative, not in a fighting, not in a cancel person way, but yeah. in a way that changes the conversation and in positive and impactful and meaningful way. And so, yeah, this year was amazing. And it's been going really great. You know, there's funding issues across the board. But we have our community that wants to see it happen. And we have so many incredible partners that want to help make this change, that it's still been, you know, really impactful. And we're creating content every Wednesday. We're constantly kind of trying to push out that mentorship in a group space. And what does that mean? And what does that look like? So, we're definitely getting new and interesting cheat codes from people. Hey, we should talk about this. This really helped me in my career. My gosh, can you comment and let's have a conversation on LinkedIn Live and have people, you know, talk to you about it. We just talked about networking. Raimeen Poon, who's on our advisory board, said, I haven't actually applied for a job in 20 years. I just use my network. So every time I'm looking for a position, I just reach out to my network. And I was like, can you come talk to my community about how to do that? Because that's incredible. And that is not a lot of people's, you know, experience.
Yeah, of course. So, of course.
How do you do that? How do you keep your network warm? How do you build the right network? How do you make sure that that's, you know, something that other people can do? So it's just identifying your kind of like your superpower or your thing that you wish you had known, and then having those conversations in a way where people can access the content and kind of get that advice.
Yeah, I like that a lot because, you know, the topics that we're talking about, we've been talking about, these are not like women-only topics, right? This is not like, oh, women are in the unfavorable situation right now, so we're going to help women through talking about things that are important for women. And then you kind of just like deepen the like schism or whatever, you know, like the gap that it's between men and women, and you build a wall, and then it's like bad guys, you know, like not supporting women. This is not the case. Like sometimes, like I had, you know, like through my career, I had situations when it was like men who was kind of, you know, like blocking my progress. I had situations when it was myself in my head, but then I also had situations when women also weren't always the nicest people, you know. So it's like really about who you are and like what you represent and what change you make and like what impact you make, like regardless of a gender, just be a nice, decent human and like be in this industry, be confident, like, you know, believe in yourself, and then you'll make a change eventually because you'll be leading by a good example, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And having that different approach and that different mindset, you know, I think for me it was really powerful when I was like, well, this is how it is for me, and this is just how it is. And somebody else was like, yeah, I had a very similar situation. You know, I was constantly in this space, and this is why. And realizing it's not just because I'm a woman, it's because, you know, I grew up in an underserved community. Like I had a space where I was told to kind of blend into the background, or you were told, you kind of learned, you know, if I just blend in, nobody's going to pick on me, or nobody's going to bring up, you know,
it's like the survival, you know, kind of the instinct, right? Yeah.
And then seeing somebody who was a VP say, oh yeah, that's how I grew up too. It was really difficult to get through that, and realizing, okay, it's something to get through and it's something that you can get through, was really powerful. Yeah. And I think that's kind of one of the conversations that I really like to have, is just finding underserved and underrepresented people and saying it's okay. And even though you're seeing other people over here, like it's because we worked through it, and we still all have that imposter syndrome in our mind. Like, I don't belong here. This isn't a space that I should be in. This is, you know, getting invited to a fancy dinner and being like, oh my gosh, everyone's wearing a suit and tie. I didn't even know this was a thing. You know, my first time I went to DICE and there was the DICE Awards. I had no idea how fancy you were supposed to get dressed. I was like, oh my gosh. So that's one of the things that we talk about in our game program as well, is here's the attire. Just so you know, you know, it's business casual. I want you to look like you and be you. I'm not trying to tell you to change your personality, but when you pick your clothes, make sure that you have something you're comfortable in for a fancy event, or this is an all black attire thing.
Black day thing, yeah.
So it's definitely having those opportunities to ask questions, having those opportunities for people to just share with you who want to see you succeed, who want you to introduce yourself in a room full of people, is a really powerful opportunity to just, you know, we're not just taking people to a conference, we're making sure that they are getting the most out of that conference. And it's been really, really great to just kind of see the growth from the mentees. You know, the first day they're so nervous they don't even want to introduce themselves, to the end where they walk in a room and they're like, have you met Joni yet? And I'm like, you go, girl. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. So it's really cool to just kind of see what just a little bit of encouragement and a little bit of mentorship can really do for somebody's career and, and just overall confidence.
Yeah. So I have one last question to you, because we were at this AWS and Wiki event on Monday at GTC, and you were moderating a panel, and I remember you asked a question. I will not quote it word by word now, but you asked about like the recent achievement that you're proud of, and you asked everyone on the panel, but you did not share yours. So what is your recent achievement that you're particularly proud of?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I honestly, the Get in the Game program for GDC actually almost didn't happen. And I am really, really proud of my network and the team of people that came together to make it happen and to make sure that we were able to move forward. But Paulina, which I know, you know, from Meta, was just an absolutely incredible advocate and supporter and really helped get the most out of this experience, put together a full panel for the mentees to meet people from Oculus and Meta, and just created this really cool space of support and just wanting to be there to see the thing happen and being an advocate to say, hey, this is a program that's meaningful and this is a program that should happen, and just really kind of helping us propel and move it forward. So I would say, you know, accessing and activating my community is probably one of my most proud things. And then the other thing is just this 18K. You know, we put together this concept of doing like a 5K. We had a community outreach that said, I want to do something. I want to actually feel like I'm doing something, not just show up, not just, you know, donate, but actually do something. What can we do? And I was like, what if we did like a community event, like something where you don't have to be physically present necessarily, but you can still do it in a way that's community activating. And so I was like, what if we did like a 5K, like a you know, just 5 kilometers, not a big deal. What if we tied it to something? What if we tied it to a data point to make it more meaningful and impactful? And so we just kind of kept ideating on this. And I want to say we've been talking about this for like 2 years. We finally launched it this year, and it's an 18K. So it is a run for equality. It is a walk, run, play. So you can walk, you can run, you can bike, you can swim. And then for accessibility, we also have in-game opportunities. So maybe you can't physically walk, run, or, you know, whatever, but you can game. Yeah. And so we have a guild in Warcraft that is doing a walk from one of the main cities to one of the side cities. We have Roblox is actually creating a track, like a course that you can go through. So there's an opportunity to kind of get your 18K in. It is 18 kilometers, not 18,000 miles, which apparently somebody thought it was 18,000 miles.
Yeah, it's a bit so, more.
Just 18 kilometers, which is, I think, like 11 miles. So it's not.
Yeah,
it's
nothing. Not, you know, yeah.
And then we do in-person opportunities as well. So we actually kicked off at GDC. We walked across the Golden Gate Bridge for the first 5K, and that was in San Francisco. We're actually going to end at Gamescom, so there's an opportunity to kind of walk from the bridge to the Colosseum. So we're doing all of these in-person, in-game, community-based. You can do it on your own, you can do it with us, whatever makes the most sense, but it's really raising awareness for that gender pay gap. So women make 18 cents less than a man. So on every dollar a man makes, women make 82 cents. So it's that 18K gap, that 18 cent gap, that 18 is the number that we want people to recognize. For women of color, women with disabilities, and women with children, the pay gap is actually even worse. So it's kind of creating the opportunity to have these conversations and to change that. So do you need to ask for more, or is it that the company is stopping you from making more? And making sure that you have that equal pay and the opportunity, but also showing companies like, we see you, we see what's happening. Kind of empowering companies to also take a look at their data and see where they can make changes. So I'm really, really proud of the way the board came together, the advisory board came together. Jennifer E just literally knocked out the website in like 10 seconds, which the webpage, I was like, this would have taken me 3 days and it would have looked half as good. So it's amazing to just kind of see people coming together to support this. Karine Yap, our board chair, just created a team and is really raising awareness and just kind of getting in front of people. Asia Larkin is killing it. Has like all of these incentives. If you donate $10, I'll run a mile or something like that. Like all of these opportunities, wow, to just kind of, amazing, you know, see. Yeah, it's just, and just get in front of people and really, like you were saying, build that community, get in front of even more people through an initiative that maybe they were on the fence about doing something. And when they see the initiative and they see how passionate people are about the organization, maybe they'll jump in and actually empower themselves through some of the programming. So
exactly.
I'm really proud of that finally launching, and we're hoping to make it even bigger and better next year as well.
Amazing. Well, I'm really glad I, you know, had a chance to ask you this question. I remember I wanted to ask it on that Monday, but I was like, there are so many people asking so many important questions. So I fell in the trap of like, oh, my question's not that important, you know.
Oh.
But yeah. But then, you know, 2 weeks later, we had a podcast when I actually can ask this question. So I'm really proud of myself right now. But yes, I'll also see you at Gamescom in this case.
Yes.
Really looking forward to that and to next Wiggy event, and maybe walking this, you know, last 5K with you through Cologne. And thank you for today. It's always so nice talking to you and learning more about the initiatives you're doing and the impact you and Wiggy are having on the industry. Is you know, it's one of its kind, and it's really motivating and very inspiring to see that this is possible, and to see people actually being impacted by your actions. And yeah, very, very, very hopeful for the future. So thank you for today, Jenny. It was great having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thank you for doing this podcast and taking up this space. This is amazing.
Thank you very much. Oops.